Welcome back to Just Scrap Radio on BJPenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Sheldon, and episode 14 really saw the lineup for you. First up, we're joined by the new UFC light heavyweight champion, Jan Blachowicz, to recap his second round knockout win over Dominic Reyes. Really good performance. He was a big underdog. We talk about him being that underdog, his friends and family cashing big on him. And what's he want? And what do you want next? Obviously, a big light heavyweight matchup, Glover Teixeira, Thiago Santos coming up. Winner of that's likely probably that next job. We also talk about a potential John Jones or Israel Adesanya matchup. Adesanya hinted about possibly moving up. I know he wants Jared Cannonier, but if Cannonier loses to Robert Whittaker, then perhaps you do Adesanya Blachowicz. And if Adesanya wins, that sets up an Adesanya Jones fight. Or if Blachowicz beats Adesanya, that sets up a Blachowicz Jones fight. It makes Blachowicz a massive star. Next up, we're joined by the James Krause to preview his short notice fight against Claudio Silva. I can't really say short notice. He got 2 weeks for this one. That's basically a full camp for this guy. His last fight, he took on 24 hours notice, not even against Trevin Giles. Really good performance. He lost a very close decision. A lot of people thought he won that fight. We talk about this one, why this is kind of that perfect time frame, just because he's really busy coaching. If he didn't get this fight in this time frame, probably wasn't going to fight again till the end of the year. We talk about that new contract he's on. And how he thinks he matched up against Claudio Silva. It's obviously a really interesting style-wise matchup. And even though Krause taking on 2 weeks notice, he's a minus 200 favorite. So obviously the odds makers think he's going to win. And then next up, we're joined by my fellow Canadian, Jillian Robertson, to preview her fight against Paulina Botello. Really good fight. I thought Jillian Robertson was going to get a ranked opponent. We talked about that. She thought she should have got someone ranked coming off that smash over Courtney Casey. Courtney Casey is a durable girl. Not many people finish her, but if Robertson can go out and finish Paulina Botello, that's probably looking at someone in that top 10 next. Robertson's someone to keep your eye on. She has the most, or tied for the most wins in UFC flyweight history. She's very dangerous on the ground, and still young. We talk about her also just working with Dean Thomas and how she had to leave American Top Team. And finally, we're joined by UFC light heavyweight Modestus Bukauskas to preview his main card fight against Jimmy Crew. Really intriguing matchup. Two highly touted prospects, light heavyweight. I'm kind of surprised at doing this fight just because both Crew and Bukauskas are these top prospects. Light heavyweight need new blood, but I guess the UFC wants to see who they're going to promote more. Really intriguing matchup. It's actually a really close fight, but the odd makers don't think so. Jimmy Crew's around a minus 350 favorite, which is surprising me. I thought this would be close to like a minus 170 for Crew. I can see what Crew's favorite, but I don't understand that line. Bukauskas definitely has path to victory, but really good chat with him. But anyways, be sure to share the show, subscribe at Apple iTunes Podcast, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to. Share the show, and thank you all for listening again. I hope you guys enjoy.
I were joined by the new UFC light heavyweight champion, Jan Blachowicz. Jan, how's it going?
All good. Life is great right now, so I enjoy it. Thank you.
I would like to say, out of the staff picks at my website, I was the only person that picked you to win that fight. So I had you by third round knockout. You're telling me third round. You got it in the second, though.
Yeah, but I think the same, that I'm going to finish the fight in third round.
Yeah.
But second is better.
Second is better. So did that fight go about as perfect as you could have thought it went?
Yeah, even better, because like I told you, I think that I'm going to win this fight in third round. I finished in second, so it was better than I think.
You were a massive underdog in that fight. You were like a plus 250 around there. Like, did you have a lot of friends and family that bet money on you?
Yeah, a lot of people put money on me. So not only I'm the winner after this fight, a lot of people sending messages. Thank you. We are rich right now thanks to you. So I'm happy also. And I can make, you know, somebody happy.
What was the whole Fight Island experience like for you?
Great experience, you know, even with this, you know, quarantine, 2 days in London and 2 days in Abu Dhabi in our room. But I, you know, I was ready for that. I set my mind on this. And you know, in Abu Dhabi, you know, the hotel was really good, really nice. Food was amazing. People who work in this hotel, they are super nice. In this hotel, we've got everything what we need, you know. I always, before 1 week before fight, I don't, you know, go anywhere. I just stay in the hotel. So, and this hotel, you have everything. Swimming pool, you know, game room. So, restaurants, really good restaurants. And so, yeah, I was, you know, just acclimatization was really good. Perfect 5 weeks for me, you know.
You were really going after Dominic Reyes's body with those kicks. Like he had that massive bruise. Was that part of the game plan to just work the body in the first round, then go up to the head after?
The game plan was to kick his leg, you know, but I always use my left leg to kick on body, on head, you know. Even if coach said don't do this, I will always do this because something what I just have, you know. I was born with this good left kick, you know. And when I kick him first time, I see that he's slowing down a little bit. And that was really important for me that, okay, he is mine. Yeah. And I started using this kick a little bit more, you know. And I see his, you know, the place where I kick is red, so I knew that he feel it.
And when you dropped him in the second, did you know that was kind of it? Like, do you know he was going to go out then, or did you think he was going to be able to get back up?
You know, in second round, I just remember that I broke his nose. This
Yeah.
was something what was also really important to me because his face told me, okay, over will be soon, yeah, because his nose was here, and after my punch was somewhere here. So after this, when I broke his nose, I see this, so I say, okay, now I just to be careful because he put everything what he got on me. He tried to knock me down one punch. But I knew that I'm gonna ready be for that, and I knew that, okay, 20 more seconds, I'm gonna be after the fight.
He felt the legendary Polish power.
Like I told you, all my opponents right now, they're gonna feel it, you know? Yeah, this is something what I've got, and I will always use it in my fights.
How big, obviously, winning the belt was important, but this fight, a lot of people thought Dominic Reyes beat John Jones. That would have been John Jones' first ever real loss. And that was a really close fight. You went out there and dominated Reyes. Like, he didn't really have much success at all. You finished him. So what do you think that does for you and put a statement on this win?
I think people start gonna believe in my skills, in my legendary Polish power, and I believe that I can beat in the same way John Jones, you know. So yeah, this is really important for me that I hope so that the people gonna start, you know, believe in Polish power.
And after the fight, like literally right after the belt was wrapped around your waist, John Jones tweeted, "Oh, maybe I go back to 205 to get my belt back." Like, what do you make of that? Because he was a guy that left the division and thought he was going to heavyweight. Then he sees you win, and now he wants to come back down.
I think he will never come back, you know, because he's afraid. He's afraid that he's gonna lose against me. That's why he go to heavyweight. And but maybe in future I will catch him over there. We will see. But who knows? Who knows what he gonna do? He is, you know, he've got. I think he's got a lot of things in his head, and nobody knows what he's gonna do next. If he go would like to go to 205, I'm ready. I'm waiting for him. We can do this.
And so he's not someone that's really on your mind right now, just because you don't really know if he's going to stay at 205.
You know, for me, I would like to fight against him, you know. For me, it will be the best option. But we've got a lot of options, you know. Maybe next Thiago or Glover, we'll see who's gonna win this fight. And also Adesanya, he said that he would like
Yeah.
to go to 205. So, you know, a lot of options. We will see what the UFC give it to me. I'm ready for everybody, for everyone.
Well, that's what I want to touch on was Israel Adesanya mentioned, oh, maybe I go try to become a champ and fight you. So what do you make of
Yeah.
that fight? Because you're going to be a lot bigger than him.
I'm gonna be stronger, bigger, you know, smarter in the fight. If UFC would like to do this fight, I'm ready. I can do this also. So for me, it's just pleasure, you know, to fight against someone like Adesanya and beat him in 205, show him legendary Polish power and celebrate after the, you know, beat the champion by
But
champion.
before the fight, I asked you what was it going to be like when Dana White wraps the belt around you. He said, "Ask me after." So now that it happened, what was that moment like?
When he give it to me, I still cannot believe what's happened, you know, but right now I am the world champion, you know. It's amazing feeling. It was great. Long journey for me, but right now I'm just happy, you know. I wish everybody to have this feeling what I have right now, you know. The life is great, right? Just you need to just fight for your, you know, for your dreams, believe in yourself, believe in your skills, and you can be on the top. I am the
And
best, proof.
then you come back to Poland and get that like hero's welcome at the airport. Were you expecting that, or was that a surprise for you?
It was a surprise. I knew that someone gonna be there, but I think that's gonna be, friends from the gym and the family, but when we have, first we go to Frankfurt, and from in Frankfurt, the airport from Poland, they called to us that a lot of people waiting for us, and we have to use different exit to visit them, So okay, I think that's gonna be a lot of people over there, but I didn't expect that's gonna be so many, and they are, really happy. They scream my name. I feel like a hero. I don't know, like a true Polish hero. It was amazing.
And did you get a chance to talk to Ioana since the fight? Just because she was obviously that first champion from Poland.
Yeah, she called to me, sent me messages, but I talked to her when I was in Poland. She called to me and we talked together. Yeah, she's so happy. Now she know what I feel when she was when she won his belt. Now she got the same feeling what I have.
And going back to your fight, you didn't really take much damage in that one. So, how quickly or when would you want your first title defense to be?
I think in March will be perfect, for me, because in December I'm gonna have a child, son. So right now,
Congratulations.
yeah, thank you. So right now I have to focus on this because before my fight everybody focused on me. Everything was doing for me. So right now I have to focus on my fiance about her. Yeah, I have to. I want to, and I just want to wait for the baby, and I need to use to new situation. And after, I think. Yeah, after New Year, 3 months for do great camp, and in the March, perfect time to have the first belt defense.
Realistically, do you think your next opponent will be that winner, Thiago Santos Glover Teixeira?
I think this is the yeah the how to say it. I need to find the word.
Like
Sorry.
the most likely outcome.
Yeah. Thiago or Glover, but we will see. We will see what UFC, give it to me. I'm open for for Thiago, for Glover, for Adesanya, and for John Jones.
Does part of you want Tiago to beat Glover so you can have your first title defense, get that fight back?
You know what is in my mind. Yeah, I never lost the rematch. This will be great, also opportunity to take rematch against Thiago. And that's it. Show him that this time will be different. Different, completely different. This
And
time I'm
once
gonna be the winner. I'm gonna keep my hands higher. And that's it. And that's gonna be that he will not knock me out again.
Well, once fans and all that can come back, are you hoping you can have a title defense in Poland?
We'll see. UFC say that if situation on the world will be gone, everything will back to normal. So UFC say that we want to back to Poland. So maybe that will be, perfect to do this fight in the national stadium, 60,000 people. Perfect scenario.
And have you as the main event and have Ioana fighting for the
Yeah.
belt in the co-main.
Exactly.
And just a few more things. Like, do you think after this fight, people are finally going to stop overlooking you? Because every single fight, everyone goes, oh, this is the fight Jan loses. Oh, this is the fight Jan loses. Like, it seems like no one's really giving you much respect.
I believe in that, but I don't care. I don't. I know. I believe in myself. I believe in my skills. So if they don't believe me, this is not my problem. I know that I can beat everybody, anytime, anywhere. So they can, say what they want to say. Fuck them. I'm gonna win the fight anyway.
Looking back at your career, like you were on that two fight losing streak coming off that loss to Patrick Cummins. Like, did you ever expect this is where you'd be in this short of time? Because it really hasn't been that long since that Cummins fight, and you've just rallied off wins, and now you're the UFC light heavyweight champion.
Like I told you before, I never stop believing in myself. I just have to find what is wrong with me. Why before a couple of years before Patrick Cummins, I won almost everything in KSW when I fight. I feel great in the fight. Right now I don't feel it. what is wrong with me? And I connect that really good, in good way, find what is wrong. I don't do this mistake anymore. I back to the roots, and I'm the champion. So I do great job.
And just last thing, after you get a couple title defenses, would you ever want to go up to heavyweight and try to become a champion? Because that seems what everyone wants to do.
I know that in future, heavyweight is my, you know, it's going to be my division. I know that my couple last fights will be in heavyweight. Yeah, this is something what I just know that I'm going to be in heavyweight in future. I think two more years in the 205 and then heavyweight. Maybe a little bit earlier, but we will see. But for sure, my last fight will be in heavyweight.
All right, well, Jan, thank you so much for the time again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Pleasure for me.
I was joined by UFC welterweight James Krause, who's practically taking this fight on about like a year's notice after his last one. James, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Obviously, another short notice fight. When did you first hear about that this would be an opportunity for you to fight Claudio?
Sunday. Well, that's not true. I was supposed to be the initial spot for this fight months ago, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. And for whatever reason, they pulled the fight and they said, hey, we're going to put you stateside against somebody different. I said, okay, cool, no problem. Anyway, it worked itself back out and they offered it up again Sunday. So, or Saturday, I'm sorry, Saturday.
And another quick turnaround, obviously your last one, not as quick as your last one, which is about like, what, 24 hours notice. But these short notice fights, do you like taking these ones like this?
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I train every day, so you know, whatever's for me, it's no difference. I mean, obviously, I would have liked a little bit more time to prep, but whatever, man. Yeah, I've been doing this long enough. I know how to fight. I'm in shape. You know, even the last one I fought at middleweight on 24 hours notice. I went three rounds. I feel like I was in better shape than him coming off the couch.
And your opponent in Claudio, he hasn't fought in over a year. Like, how do you think that layup's going to impact him? Because we've seen different fighters. Sometimes the layup impacts and sometimes it doesn't.
You know, with his style and with my style, I don't – like, he's got a very, like, go-get-him type style. He gets after people early. I just don't think it'll be a factor for him. He fights very aggressively. And I think for those aggressive fighters, that ring rust is not a real thing. You know what I mean? I don't think it'll be an issue for him. I don't think it'll be an issue for me. It's never been an issue for me. I've never started slow. You know what I mean? It's just if you're aggressive and you get after people early, it's usually, you know, it's usually not a factor. I don't think it'll be a factor for him. I don't expect it. I don't expect him to start slow. I don't expect it to be a factor for him at all.
He's a guy who lost his pro debut that rallied off 14 straight wins. And he has some notable wins on there, like a Leon Edwards, a Danny Roberts. Like, so he obviously hasn't been too active, which is kind of keeping him back. But what do you think a win over him does for you and puts you in this division?
You know, obviously, win over guys 14-1 with wins over Silva, Danny Roberts. You know, I'm sorry, wins over Danny Roberts and Leon Edwards. I'm sorry. It's a feather in the cap. To me, a win's a win. I, you know, just get you another win, another payday, higher up the ladder. Like, to me, they're all – I mean, I just – he's great. He's a good fighter, obviously, and I'm not trying to – this is in no way discrediting any of his accomplishments, but I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care what he's done or what, you know. It's not about what he's done or what he's doing. It's about what's going to happen. And I think I'm a very difficult style to train for. And I don't think you can just go get any one person to emulate me or what I do and the constant stance switching and all that stuff. But yeah, you know, I think it, to answer your question, win over anybody 14-1 is obviously going to be a good win. Win over somebody that's got a win over Leon Edwards is obviously going to be a good win. For me, it's another win. You know what I mean? That's what it is. Another win, another payday. One step up the ladder, you know, that's it pretty much.
And I know you talked after your Trevin and Giles fight is you said you got that new contract and that was kind of a big reason why you want to keep on fighting. So is it still the same contract as the last one or do you have to renegotiate again?
No. I renegotiated it so good last time. If I brought it up this time, that probably would have killed me. But I'm happy with it. I'm happy. I feel like I feel like I get what I deserve now. And I'm happy with it. So we're good there. You know what I mean? I feel really good about it.
And do you think you're kind of like a bad, just looking at it from my perspective, I think you're bad or Claudio, like you're a bad style match for Claudio. Cause what Claudio likes to do is take someone down and try to submit him. He's not going to submit you. Your ground game, I think, is probably better. On the feet, I think you're probably the better striker. Like, do you think this is a really favorable matchup for you?
I won't say favorable matchup, but I will go as far to say as I think I'm a very difficult and stylistically tough matchup for Claudio. Yes. This fight to me is very similar to the Sergio Moraes fight that I just had recently. And very good grappling. You know, Sergio has far better accolades on the ground than Claudio. Now that doesn't necessarily translate. I feel like Claudio is a better MMA grappler than Sergio. Sergio likes to take people down and point them, you know what I mean? Just hold them and not do a lot. Where Claudio likes to hit a little bit more. So there's advantages and disadvantages to both. I don't feel like I'm going to be a fish out of the water on the ground with him. You know, I don't foresee him. I'm good. I can grapple, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty good. So his style on the feet is very aggressive, but in terms of like technical, I feel like I'm a far better technical striker than him. You know, obviously he's got some pop in his punches, he's got some power, he's very aggressive with his style, but I feel like I'm a better technical striker than him. And his wrestling isn't great. But he gets people down though. You know what I mean? He likes to wrestle off the body lock. I like to wrestle off the body lock. So it's a fun stylistic matchup, I think, for the fans. And I feel like it's pretty clear cut what both of us are going to try to do. And obviously it makes for an interesting stylistic fight.
And your cardio is something that's always on your side. Like even the Trevin Giles fight, which kind of shocked me, was he was the one that gasped before you and you took it on 24 hours notice. Yeah. Is that part of the game plan just to push the pace on Claudio and try to bring him into those deep waters? Because you can go three hard rounds pretty easily.
I can fight three rounds, man. No doubt. I can fight three hard rounds now. And in the Giles fight, that's about as out of shape as you're ever going to see me. I came off the couch. I took that fight just down a huge steak bowl with a can of Coke in my hand. Like, that's as out of shape as you're going to see me. Less than, 24 hours or whatever. That's about what you're going to see. The worst you're ever going to see me in shape. I've had a couple weeks, not that makes a huge difference, but just a little bit of prep time. It does make a difference, man. I feel like I have a strong three rounds in me for sure. I don't know. We'll see. He's had a full camp. So who knows? Who knows? I just bank on him being the best he can possibably be. And we'll see. We'll see who pushes the pace, man. I feel like I do agree with you. I feel like the cardio is going to be on my side. He comes out very aggressive in the first round, and I'm banking on that,
And you've gone out to fight on before cornering. So are you glad you're heading back out there? Would you rather this fight been in Vegas?
Well, personally, I would rather fight in Vegas, but I have five or six people fighting next month. So just for my schedule, if I don't fight on Fight Island, I won't fight again for the rest of the year. So for my schedule, this works the best, and I'm good with it. It's fun. I like to challenge myself. For me, this isn't it is about fighting, but like, there's just like, I'm going to use the word ultimate. There's like an ultimate challenge here, to become the best version of yourself and constantly challenge yourself, constantly challenge the comfort level that you have that people like to sit in, And I want to be the best me I possibly can. And I want to take risks. I don't ever want to look back at my career and my life and say, man, I should have done a little bit more. I should have did this. I should have that. I don't want to do that. I want to put myself out there. And I think, being a coach is helped me with that. I feel like my guys are, I think the bar's been set high. The culture, almost demands that my guys be ready, to take a fight on 24 hours notice.
Well, that's what I want to touch on is, do you think that your coaching allows you to take these short notice fights? Cause you're always in camp. You're pretty much always in camp cause you're helping out all your fighters all the time.
Yeah. For me, the short notice fights don't bother me as much. I mean, I've been fighting for a long time, almost 15 years, but the short notice fights typically, equal a lot of opportunity, right? So, for my recent guys, taking short notice stuff has gotten a couple of my guys in the UFC, and you have to be ready to take those, man. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? If you need an 8-week camp for every fight, then that tells me you're not being disciplined and you're not training full time outside of that. And in my gym, that's not an option. Like, you won't be on my team if that's how you operate in my gym.
This fight, are you glad you're back down to welterweight then?
It makes no difference to me. I'm not a middleweight. You know, I took that fight on 24 hours notice. I didn't cut a single pound, but I'm heavier now than when I took that fight. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, yeah, I am sure, but it doesn't matter to me. I would take that fight again at 85 right now if they offered it to me.
And one of your fighters you trained a lot is Grant Dawson, who's obviously been unreal in the UFC. Like, when do you think we'll see him back in? Because he's a guy that I always like watching.
We're hoping to get him turned around again in sometime this year. He's all over me about it. I would love to get him turned around again. Get him one more fight this year. It'd be really good for him in the gym. The kid's an animal, man. He's really good. He's so good. And he's only getting better. He gets better every time. You know, I watch him go out and fight. He gets better. He works hard. He's one of the hardest working guys I've ever met and ever coached. He's a sponge. He listens. You know, he doesn't give me any problems or anything like that. And he lives the life, bro. He's all in. He's bought into my coaching program. He's bought into the team. He's been a huge addition to my coaching staff. He's an incredible coach. He gets it, man. He understands the game very well, understands the ins and outs, the intricacies of it. And when he's done fighting, he's going to make a hell of a coach someday as well.
And just a few more people you coach. Is Derek Minor obviously got that massive win. I know Grant Dawson is in his corner as well. What was that like seeing it? Because he fought Grant, and a lot of people were expecting Laramie to just go through him.
Man, Minor is good, bro. I feel like there's a lot of these guys, and I just talked about this in a recent interview. There's five things that we focus on that I feel like are a little bit different. And there's been quite a few people that have came to me recently. Tim Elliott, Derek Minner is another one. That just two of those five things is organizing your game and fight IQ. And I think this with Minner, it was a lot of that, you know, just organizing what he's doing, making good decisions in the fight. And, you know, just the confidence that he had going into that fight. I just didn't see Laramie beating him, to be honest with you. I mean, Derek's got one of the best guillotines you can find out there. He's just a tough stylistic matchup for Laramie, in my opinion. And I really liked the matchup the whole time. You know, of course, Laramie's young, he's hungry. But with that, there's ups and downs to everything, right? And with that young, hungry kid, they like to get after you early. And, you know, part of the plan for Minner was just to throw big punches early to get him to go where he goes. And whenever you get a little uncomfortable, you go back to what's comfortable. And what was comfortable for him was shooting that double leg, which is exactly what the guillotine, which is Derek's best move. He's got a ton of different grip options to finish. He's got it. And if you – I don't know if you train or anything like that, but anybody watching this, if you go back and you watch that guillotine he did, there was some really high-level detail there with the way he was hooking the legs. He body triangled the legs so he could scoot out. Some really high-level details there that Derek has that he's really good at.
So just the last thing, obviously you mentioned if you weren't going to fight now, you wouldn't have fight at the end of the year. So safe to say this is probably it for you this year. But after this, does the focus then turn to Megan Anderson, who's obviously fighting Amanda Nunes for the belt after?
Yeah, I mean, we have more fights than just her. I have Julian Marquez and Jeff Molina on November 14th. I have Gina Mazzani and Sean Woodson on the 28th. And I have Megan on the 12th. And then we're probably going to get Minner rebooked. We'll probably get Kroom rebooked. We'll probably get Grant rebooked. Witt. I have Witt October 31st. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be busy. You know what I mean? It's good. That's the way we like to do it. You know what I mean? Like, my guys are hungry, man. We're blue collar work ethic. My guys are ready to go. They'll fight. They're ready to fight again next week. They're ready to rock.
All right. Well, James, thank you so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having
me. Now.
All right, we're joined by UFC flyweight, my fellow Canadian, Jillian Robertson. Jillian, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. A couple weeks out here and just getting ready to head to Abu Dhabi, heading to Fight Island. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, let's start there. Obviously, your last one was in Vegas. Were you looking to stay in Vegas or did you want to be part of these Fight Island cards?
A little bit of both, I guess. I was definitely excited when I heard that it was Fight Island. It's just going to be an awesome opportunity in general, you know? It's like they literally shut down the whole island for the UFC. So it's going to be a dope experience, but it's also an 18-hour flight, I think. Yeah. And that I'm definitely not looking forward to. Flying's not my thing. So I was happy when I thought it was in Vegas, but it's definitely going to be something to look forward to being in Abu Dhabi.
And pretty quick turnaround for you, only about 2 months. Was this kind of the right time for you, or is this quicker than you even thought you'd get back in there?
Oh, no, this is perfect for me. I actually had a matchup that was a little bit earlier, and I got denied by an opponent. So it was like, I was hoping to get back in there, and I think it was August 18th was the last one that I had. So I guess it's a little bit later than expected, but this is the type of schedule I want to be on. I want to be in the cage 3, 4, 5 times a year. You know, I'm trying to get in there and stay as active as possible.
And your last fight, obviously a big smash win over Courtney Casey. How big was that to just get back in the win column and start getting this momentum back?
It's everything, really. You know, it's like, this is all I do. This is my life. I'm so focused on fighting, and it's just it gives you that little bit extra momentum, that a little bit extra push, and headed in the right direction, you know.
And you're fighting a Pollyanna Botello. Are you surprised as your opponent? I thought you would have got a ranked girl after, especially after your last win.
I expected a ranked girl. I was hoping for a ranked girl, but whoever they put in front of me, I'm going to be ready for it. I'm taking every fight. I feel like to be the best in the division, whenever I am going to face a champion, I have to be able to say that I can beat anyone in the division. So if I want to get to that point, I have to prove it.
And with Pollyanna, she's obviously hasn't fought since UFC 236, so April of 2019. Like, how do you think that layoff's going to be? Because that's quite a while off.
I definitely thought the same thing. She's had quite a while off, and a lot of her opponents that she has fought in the UFC haven't necessarily been the highest caliber. Any girls that she has fought, like, she fought against Cynthia Gabeo, who finished her in one round, and then her other wins are, I believe, Lauren Mueller and Pearl Gonzalez, who has gotten cut from the UFC since. So it's like, I'd say Caveo is the only really top-tier girl that she's fought, and she showed how that went.
And with Cynthia Calvillo, she obviously got her down and smitter. Do you think that's part of the game plan for you? Is because just looking at this on paper, you're probably a lot better on the ground than she is.
I think it's no secret of what my game plan is. Generally, every single fight is a race against the throat for me. I'm seeing how fast I can get to the rear naked choke. And all these girls can expect it. They can know it's coming, and it's still going to happen every single time.
I was looking at your record. You don't have a single decision win in the UFC. Every single one has been a finish. Like, why do you think you aren't getting – I thought the way you fight, you'd get a lot more push, like up the ranks a lot better, because your fights aren't boring. They're always ending, and they're a lot of times they're ending pretty early too.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how everything works with the UFC. Like I said, I expected a ranked opponent. I expected to be pushed a little bit more, and I guess I hope for that in the future. I hope I can prove myself in these next couple fights.
And with flyweight, you have the most wins in that division. So what's that like? Because you can just keep on etching your name in the history books right here.
With my last fight, I got the most wins at flyweight and then the most submissions ever in women's history. And that one was the one that, like, I beat Ronda Rousey's record for that. So for me, it's like she's always someone that I've looked up to since – when I was an amateur, she was the one who opened the door for women to get into the UFC. To see that I beat any of her records is just, it's mind blowing to me, really.
You are only 25, so you're still really young. Like, do you think you're not even hitting your, like, prime yet in your career?
I'm nowhere near my prime. This is just the beginning. I'm still learning. I'm still getting better every single day. And I'm really just becoming a mixed martial artist, where I've been so much of a jiu-jitsu girl. And now we're going to see more striking, more just transitions with wrestling and ground and pound. I'm just putting everything together now.
Well, that's what, like, even that Sarah Ferrota fight, I think that was a fight where you really showed off your ground and pound, where you weren't like, you normally before that, you would just always go for the chokes, but even that you were comfortable with the striking. Is that something you've been really working on, is just the ground and pound? Cause sometimes those chokes aren't there.
People don't realize that it's two different worlds between MMA jiu-jitsu and no-gi jiu-jitsu. It's just, like, even just the games they play, people want to play on their back, so they'll play 100% different type of game when you're in a no-gi match versus an MMA match. So it's just, it's really learning a different sport over these last couple of years where I've been so much of a no-gi girl and now I'm learning to be an MMA girl.
And obviously you train a marathon team, a lot of good girls out there. Who were the main people you're working with for this camp?
I actually haven't been with ATT this camp anymore. I'm training at Dean's house.
Yeah. I forgot that you went out with Dean.
Yeah. So Dean Thomas, he literally bought a house in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and he has Jose Shorty Torres living at it and me training there. And then he'll fly out training partners or get people to come out for us. So Shorty's my main training partner. I work with him like every single day. He's cutting weight right now. He's fighting next week in Bahrain for Brave. So he hasn't been helping me these last couple weeks, just focusing on his weight. But he's who I work with more than anybody else. It's just him and Dean. That's my team.
And I know you, as I forgot you left AT to go with Dean. So what like triggered that move? Because obviously Dean was your longtime coach. It's just like, did you ever think of maybe half the time at Dean's, half the time at AT, or you just, was it always just fully committed to Dean?
I was actually trying to make it half the time at Dean's, half the time at ATT. And ATT originally, they were like, because of COVID, they didn't want to just me training at other gyms. And then they gave me the ultimatum eventually where they told me I had to choose between Dean and ATT. And that's a no-brainer for me, no matter what. Dean is the reason I get better. He's the reason I move forward every single day. And obviously it's great to have great training partners there. All the girls there were absolutely amazing, you know, always having the best level, the highest level girls to train with every single day. You're going to make yourself better. But no matter what, a coach is going to be the thing that makes the difference. You need someone to tell you what you're doing wrong and where you can get better. And Dean's always been that person for me.
And Dean's been in a lot of high profile fights. Like he's been in Tyron Woodley's corner for title fights. Like how important has that been, or that will that be like in your future? Like, 'cause he knows what preparing for a title fight, like what is all that, like going into five rounds, like just longer in your career, when you start getting those five round fights, like how important will he be then?
I trust him more than anything. I know that he is probably one of the smartest coaches I've ever worked with, just the way his mind works, the way he game plans, and being in your corner, like there's nobody who makes me feel calmer, no one who makes me feel more ready. And just every single moment he knows the right thing to say, and it's like sometimes you just need that little extra push, that need that little something, and he always is right there and knows how to get you into that mindset.
And he obviously staying in Florida, how big is that? Because I know you're someone that really likes to stay in Florida.
Oh yeah, it's definitely nice. I love the heat. I love I was just talking to somebody about that. I'm like, I don't understand how people can come down here and then go back, move back up. That doesn't make sense to me. Once I was down here, it's like I like the warmth.
Yeah, because I'm up by Toronto and it's already getting cold. I'm like, oh god, the weather's coming soon.
No, I think we're like 85, 90 today, so that's good with me.
Yeah. With Shorty Torres, he's obviously the same weight as you, a flyweight. So how important has he been, just that look? Just because you obviously are training with a man, but he is the same size as you.
It's like you said, he's the same size. So we have the it's not like I work with Dean a lot too. So it's like I have to wrestle with him and do things with him, and it's a huge difference. It's just it's nice to have someone your size, someone to work with. And then being a male, he is naturally stronger and faster than me, so he's gonna be better than any girl that I'm gonna be fighting. So it's giving me a push and just making me better every single day.
Just a few more things. You're obviously ranked 15. Where do you think a win over Pollyanna Pudsey in this division, like, do you think you'd go up, or do you think you'd probably stay around that same spot, but your next fight would be a ranked girl?
I have absolutely no idea how the UFC rankings work. Yeah. So, I really don't know where a win would put me. And like I said, I'm just here to prove that I am better than every other girl in this division. So if I have to fight every single one to get up to the top, I'm willing to do that.
You're fighting in October. Like, do you think this is probably it for this year? Or are you looking to hopefully get one more in?
Maybe late December if they could find something for me. If not, then early January, definitely. I'm trying to get back in there soon.
Yeah, because obviously between the Makes Murphy and your last fight, that was probably one of your longest layoffs you had. So, like, is this something you like, just keeping a rhythm going, fighting every 2-3 months?
Between the Macy Barber and my last fight, it killed me. Like, I was sitting there texting my manager every single day. I was like, we got to fight, we got to fight, we got to fight. And then I believe it was after 4 months. Like, it was an 8 month layoff. So halfway through it, he texts me. He's like, "All right, we got a fight." And it was Talia Santos we originally signed for. And I had 4 months notice on that fight. So I'm like, that's just absurd in general. So I'm like, I had it just like that long of a layoff, that much notice. It absolutely killed me. I need to stay active. I need to stay in there. And I think that's what I got to do to show people who I am, to prove my name.
And I know you were doing some grappling matches too, so that just helped with the just keeping you sane, so you can actually have some competition.
Oh yeah, and honestly, I probably get more nervous for those grappling matches than I do for an MMA fight now, because it's not my world. Like I was saying, how jiu-jitsu and the MMA are completely different worlds. Well, I'm so deep into the MMA world now, it's like I'm going into her world to compete with her. So it's definitely I got absolutely like, I haven't been this nervous in so long. For my last grappling match that I did, it was just absolutely nerve-wracking.
And with Fight Island, it's back to the bigger octagon, like that 30-foot one. Obviously, as a grappler, everyone says the smaller octagon's better, but do you think it's going to make much of a difference in your fight?
I'm prepared for anything, so it won't make much of a difference. Obviously, it is nice to have the cage there. When I find the apex, literally Courtney Casey would take 2 steps back and her back would be against the cage. So there's nowhere for a striker to run. But here, you can use a little bit more footwork, move around, but I'm prepared for everything. We're ready to fight, and my coach, he just prepares me for no matter what comes at you, you know?
Is it difficult to train for Pollyanna? Just because we haven't seen her in a year and a half, you don't really know what she's working on, what she's going to look like after that long of a layoff?
Yeah, no. I feel like through her fight career, you haven't necessarily seen like a lot of differences necessarily between her fights. So I don't feel like you'll see too much of a progression, too much of a difference. But I don't know. I'm not too worried about anything. I'm ready to go in there and just get my hand raised.
And this will be your second time fighting with the no fans, and this will be your first time. How do you think that's going to impact you? Like, because obviously a lot of fighters I've talked to said it's very strange that first time making the walk and fighting when you just don't hear anything.
I absolutely loved it the first time, honestly. Like, it was just – it is weird. It's definitely a 100% different situation than when you do have the fans there. Just – it's almost awkwardly chill. Like, you're in a fist fight and you're just – it's awkwardly relaxed there. And even like when I celebrated after, I was sitting there and I go to cheer and then I'm like, oh, this is weird. Like, I'm the only one celebrating. So I'm like, this is, it's definitely a weird situation, but I loved it. And it takes pressure off you. It makes you perform better.
And just the last thing, obviously, Abu Dhabi, I don't know if you've seen, they have a lot of stuff for the fighters. Like, they have the beach over, they have a golf course, the racing cars. Like, are you going to be taking part of any of that thing, or is fight week just strictly about the fight?
I'm actually, Dean's going out there next week for Dana White's looking for a fight. They're going to film out there. So I'm actually going out on October, I believe October 1st, I'm going to be flying out to Abu Dhabi. So I'll be out there for 17 days. So I'm going to have a lot of time to look into all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to see what I can get into.
All right. Well, Jillian, thank you again for the time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
All right, we're joined by UFC light heavyweight Modestus Bukauskas. Modestus, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Literally just finished up training now. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you for asking. I just want to get right to your fight. Are you surprised this is the fight? Jimmy Crute, it's you two are both highly touted prospects. I'm surprised they matched you two up right this early in your UFC careers.
I think it had to do with like a load of different things. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are going to say for me, oh, it's a massive step up. And, you know, people are probably going to look at it from his side. Or, you know, maybe you wanted to have someone like higher rank because he's fought like quite a lot of good guys already. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just at the end, it's who's going to put pen to paper. And, you know, for both us, it's a very big fight. You know, I think it's going to be very entertaining for everyone. Yeah, like I think he said on one of his social media accounts that, you know, a load of people had sort of been ducking him from the top 15, saying that, you know, that they hadn't come to an agreement in, to get a fight and stuff like that. And I'd literally just sort of put the foot in the door of me getting into the UFC with my first win. And then, you know, I think the matchmaker was talking to my manager, and then, you know, sort of gave me that name, and I was like, well, yeah, I'll go on, I'll take him on. At the end of the day, I love having big challenges, and usually when I have big challenges, that's when I sort of shine and you know, put on my best performances. So yeah, I know he's very talented and a very good fighter, but at the end of the day, you're going to be fighting great fighters no matter what you do in the UFC. So if I'm not ready to take them on now, then maybe I'm not ready for the UFC. So yeah, I can't wait to get in there.
And your last fight, obviously, it was a really weird circumstances to end it. I thought you won. I thought you knocked him out anyways. I thought it should have been stopped. But is this more of a, like, let's get a clear cut win and not have any controversy with anything this time around?
Yeah, I can't disagree with saying that that's exactly how I want to be able to do it this time. Sort of just be able to, you know, quiet down on some of the haters, you know, saying, oh yeah, back. But look, even Johnny Walker won on the weekend, and there are still loads of people complaining, oh, back of the head and this and that. So doesn't matter if you're getting in that position, people got to understand that this is a deadly position for you to be able to land strikes. So, you know, we're going to see it even more often, you know, now in the UFC, especially with people trying to shoot in and just leaving their heads there. So you know, it's part of the rule set. People have got to sort of get accustomed to the fact that this is legal, this is part of the game, you know what I mean? So but yeah, of course, with the amount of shade that was thrown from loads of different angles on my last win, I'm definitely ready to go out there and put on an absolutely amazing performance and yeah, show people what I'm truly capable of.
And heading back out to Fight Island, Jimmy's never done this whole COVID era fighting with no fans going out to Fight Island. Do you think that's a small advantage in your favor, just because fight week's obviously a lot different having to quarantine and all that?
Yeah, I think I guess I do have a bit of an upper hand, knowing I've been there before, I've seen the environment, I know what to expect and stuff like that, but I don't think it's much of an edge. I mean, we're all fighters, you know, we go in there, we you know, you lock the cage door, it's going to be similar. I don't think there's going to be too much. I don't think it's going to be too much different for him. He might find it somewhat, you know, a bit weird. You know, like I say, it's just sort of at the end of that of the Flash Forum, and it's like sort of closed off and stuff like that. But you know, when you're going into a fist fight, the only thing you're thinking about is, you know, going to put it on your opponent, go and protect yourself, and you know, you're fighting for survival here. So you know, when those sort of urges come in and those sort of instincts come in, everything else sort of just goes off to the side. Well, at least in my case, it does.
And with this fight, obviously, Jimmy Crute has a lot of good wins. You see, like Paul Craig, Sam Alvey, his last one was impressive. He's a guy that was fighting ranked guys like Misha Serkinov. So where do you think a win over Jimmy puts you in this division?
Well, I think it'll definitely put me into the top 15, or at least within the top 20, which is, you know, one of my big goals for this year, was to get into the top 20 of the light heavyweight division in the UFC and make a big statement. So I think, yeah, like with a big win here, I'll definitely get within the top 20, and I'll start being able to call out names within the top 15 and, you know, try and work my way up the ranks. You know, we're all going for that UFC gold. So, yeah, however that route may go, I'm ready to take on all comers to try and get to that position.
Well, obviously, you're still young at 26, but is it weird that Jimmy's 2 years younger? Because even when this fight was announced, everyone's like, oh, Jimmy's taking on the prospect. But, like, you are older than him.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was just looking at that because I remember seeing him on the Contender Series, I think it was a couple of years ago or whatever, and I saw that he was just 22. So I was like, you know, damn, like, how much younger is this guy than me? And, yeah, it's weird now. For the longest time, I've always been fighting guys that are older than me. So yeah, it's nice to be able to actually fight someone who's going to have the same sort of athletic backing as I do. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're both the same age, we're both hungry, we're both athletic, we're both explosive. So yeah, like I say, it's just going to be an absolutely amazing scrap, and it's going to be very entertaining. And I can't wait to go in there and compete against him.
I don't know if you've looked too much into it, but he's only an inch smaller than you, but you have a 5.5-inch reach advantage on him. Like, that's a pretty big reach advantage. How do you think that's going to play a factor in the fight?
Yeah, that is definitely something that that we have looked into. I mean, I've always, you know, made it a big part of my game was to be able to use my range. And I made an even more of an emphasis this time around as well, especially with the boxing and using the jab and stuff like that. You know, I'm not going to give too much away, but of course, you know, when you've got a sizable reach advantage, there's certain things that you can do to be able to negate things that he's going to do just with that particular advantage. And yeah, I'm going to be looking to do all that stuff when it comes to fight night.
you obviously only have one decision on your record. That was your first fight, and since then it's all been finishes. Is this another fight you can think you can get another finish?
100%, my man. I'm always going out there to try and finish the fight. I'm always looking out there to put on an explosive performance. And every time I go into a fight, I'm always thinking that I'm going to go out there and finish by, go out there and win by stoppage. Just because obviously everyone wants to grab them 50 Gs. So of course, yeah. I know that the best way to best route towards that is by going and stopping the fight. And, you know, you want to create a legacy. You want to make yourself entertaining for the fans and stuff like that. You want to give them a show, and you know you got to go all out. You got to go in there and you know try and put it on the dude. So yeah, of course. I mean, I'm looking to try and finish this guy within the first round if I can. But I think you know he's very technically sound, and you know he's very dangerous in all areas. So you know I think it will probably take a bit longer to be able to wear him down. But I think you know by the second round I'll be able to go out there and finish him, and that's exactly what I'm going out there to do.
And you, I've watched you in Cage Wars. I'm out in Canada, but I like watching Cage Wars. Like, it's just an early Saturday afternoon, some good fights. But so I've known about you for a while. You had a lot of hype entering the UFC. But how weird has it been where everyone pictures getting the UFC, those sold out crowds, all that stuff, and your first two fights are in front of no one?
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? It's funny because a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on the fact that, yeah, it's in front of no people. And don't get me wrong, I would love to know what it feels like to be able to go out there in front of a massive crowd and you know, go out into a massive stadium and you know, some of these big arenas in Las Vegas and this and that. But, you know, number one, obviously, you got to go out there and do the job no matter what circumstance it is. You know, you're still going out there into the cage. The fans aren't coming in there with you. You got to go in there by yourself. It's weird because usually when I have those fights on Cage Warriors, and it's good because it helped prepare me sort of what it would be like anyways, you know, with all the attention and like the media and stuff like that going in leading up to fights. But I sort of like just blur it all out anyways. It's weird. Like I all I see is tunnel vision. So like, you know, I'll see at the beginning, whenever you'd walk out in the tunnel for Cage Warriors, I'll see some of like my family, my friends, and you know some people there, and you know you'd acknowledge them, but then as soon as I've acknowledged them, then it's just like back to fight mode. Like you sort of just give them like, yo, what's up, and then after that you're just like, okay, bang, back to eyes on the prize, and then literally all I see is a cage, and all I see is my opponent, and all I'm thinking about is what I have to do. So, I mean, I've not fought in front of that many people, like in terms of like the amounts that the UFC would provide. So I don't know what that would feel like. I mean, I can imagine you'd be able to play to the crowd a little bit more, but again, it always come back to the same thing where you still got to go out there, you got to go do your job, and it'll go straight back to that tunnel vision. And I can imagine, you know, some other fighters would probably agree with me. So although it doesn't have that part of it all, the fact that I'm fighting in the UFC, you're having Bruce Buffer call out your name, you're having, you know, Dana White standing there and all these top dogs that you've been watching for years, like that in itself is an amazing experience. And that's what gives it that much better feel that, you know, fighting anywhere else wouldn't be able to give you.
And I know from like just seeing stuff on social media and whatnot, there's a lot of like a wrong conception about Europeans that, oh, they're just strikers, their wrestling's not that good. We've seen your wrestling in Cage Warriors, but do you still think that's an overlooked part of your game by a lot of people, is your wrestling and your ground game?
100%, because like I say, I've not been put into particular position. Well, I've not been presented with certain situations or circumstances in order for me to be able to use my wrestling. Most of the time I'm trying to negate other people's wrestling, but you know, that's a part of wrestling in itself, being able to defend takedowns and be able to get back up to your feet, and that's all part of jiu-jitsu, that's all part of the game. So realistically, yeah, those parts of my game have been tested, and you know, I've been able to overcome in those situations. But yeah, there will be a time when I will game plan to go and take the guy down, or I'll be given an opportunity in the fight and I'll be able to go do that. People haven't seen it. They don't know what it's like, but trust me, within the next couple of fights, people are going to see it. And yeah, I can't wait to be able to go out and yeah, just, do you know what I mean? Just highlight more of my skill set to people. Cause I feel like it's very raw in what I've been able to show, just because that's just how we've particularly been game planning for these opponents. You always want to be able to have, you know, sort of the upper hand. And not to say that I feel like I'm ever weaker in those areas, but you know, you've got to keep towards your strengths, and that's the way I've been winning fights. And then hopefully slowly every fight, you know, I'll be able to show more of what I can do.
And we obviously know you have a lot of knockout power. Your striking's really crisp, but it seems every fight they shoot on you at least once. Do you expect Jimmy to shoot for a takedown on you?
Yeah, 100%. I know that he's got a good wrestling game, and he's taken down other opponents and even guys that have been trying to strike against him. He can quickly shoot underneath and do that. That's part of the game plan. You got to use whatever you can to win. I fully expect him to go and shoot on me, but do you know what I mean? He's going to be throwing that at me. I'm going to be ready for it. And then I'm going to be looking to negate that and be able to land my heavy strikes and do damage for myself.
And obviously, you've already been out to Fight Island before. Are you going to be doing anything out there? Like, they have the racetrack, the golf, and the beach. Are you going to be doing any of that, or is it just strictly a fight?
I will try and do a little bit more of that. I definitely want to go back to the beach again. That was an amazing experience, going out to that cage on the beach and stuff, going almost like to round two of being out on the beach and on the island and stuff. If I have sort of time, or if I'm in the sort of the mind frame, usually I'm like you say, you're sort of in the mind frame just to go and do the business. But listen, if I've got a long space of time within in the middle of the day and I've got nothing going on and, I just want to chill out, then of course I'll definitely try and look at doing one of the other excursions. I'm sort of, I don't know, it's weird. Like when I was a little bit young, I make it seem like I'm an old man, but when I was like a little bit younger, I'd want to sort of go out and do more things, and sort of even on nights out, you'd want to go out more on nights out. But now I'm actually way more content sitting at home, putting on a good film, having some nice food or whatever, and just literally chilling out. So I don't know. I guess maybe the sort of the lazier persona, like in terms of my free time, do you know what I mean? Like some people like to do things and be adventurous. Not saying that I don't like to do that kind of stuff, but especially when you're sort of training, you're doing this and that, and your body gets sore and stuff like that. I'm literally most of the time just ready to just chill in bed, and whenever it's not leading up to a fight, I like to have a nice bag of sweets and just that's my enjoyment more than anything. Obviously, I wouldn't be able to do that leading up to the fight, but we'll see how things go. Last time I had bursitis in my knee, which then got infected, so obviously I wasn't thinking about that just because I had to take care of my own body. But I'm sure I've seen that they got bicycles out, but it's still hot as well. There's so many there's so many different factors. It'll be a sort of a thing where if I feel like it, I'll do it, and if I don't, then I'll be more than happy just to chill and watch films in the room.
And obviously, when you get out there, they do that like 2-day quarantine. So how are you going to spend that? Like, you bringing anything out there with you?
I bought my laptop last time, but I didn't even use it. I mean, my phone has got loads of different stuff. I just watch YouTube, Netflix. But, it's good that I'm going to be having my dad probably in the same room with me again. And, we just move the tables out and stuff. We get a good little sweat, good little workout in. So that takes up a little bit of the time. Obviously me and my dad throw around loads of jokes with each other anyways. We've got quite a jovial relationship. Some of the stuff on TV, they got like Friends that plays on like repeat all the time. I haven't watched Friends in ages, so I'll probably catch up a little bit on that. And but most of the time with all this technology, literally as long as you have your phone, you're pretty much good to go.
And just last thing, this is already your second UFC fight of the year. Do you think you can get one more in, or do you think we're probably looking at your third in early next year?
I'm looking at trying to get another one at the end of the year. Like I say, I've been preparing very extensively. I've been training very hard. I'm going out there to go in and bring a big win and a big finish in this fight, and then call for another fight at the end of the year. It says on my board actually over here, I've got a vision board which basically just says all the things that I want to accomplish. And it says there that I will compete for the UFC 3 times this year and win all 3, and that is exactly what I'm going to go out there and look to do.
Well, Modestus, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Nice one. Thank you so much for having me, bro.